Find unmissable home and electrical deals in the end of season sale at very.co.uk. Right now, you can save up to 50% on selected sofas, up to £300 on selected beds and mattresses, and up to £150 on selected appliances, like Hotpoint and Hoover. Shop now at very.co.uk for more amazing deals on fashion, home and electricals. Hurry, the appliances offer ends on the 6th of January. Get more out of every day with very.co.uk.
Wednesday, January 4th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Of course, we get together every single Wednesday, talk sports a little bit differently than anyone else, try to give you a daily dose of common sense, try to maybe actually get you to laugh once or twice, at least, hopefully. If you'd like to recommend the podcast, and we hope that you will do that for us, we would appreciate that so much. We're not out there doing a ton of advertising, so if you can help us out, give us a little advertising. Let your friends, let your coworkers, let your loved ones know that they can subscribe to the podcast in a number of different places. Then go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play, Audio Boom, any of the normal places you find podcasts. You can also go over to blogtalkradio.com, subscribe to the podcast there, or you can head to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And while you are there, check out the articles that go up every single week. You just might like those. Poll went up this week. Not sure if you saw that. Pretty scientific poll went up this week concerning the Denver Broncos. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check out the poll that did go up this week. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com, for new podcasts each and every week. Got a number of different interests, number of different types of podcasts over there, but you are sure to find something that you are going to like. If you've got a question, got a comment, maybe you need some advice about any subject. I've had people ask us advice on sports, on youth sports. I've had people just ask us a sports question. Maybe somebody has a comment, something they would like to see, maybe mentioned in a top five. Got a comment? Got anything for us? Hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. That handle is Daily Dose Sports, D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today, on our first show of 2017, you know, we've got to make a few New Year's resolutions. And no, they're not for us. We're above that sort of thing. What are you saying? We need to change here at the Daily Dose? Is that what you're trying to tell me? We need to get better? Yeah, we know that. We already know that. We're well aware. No, we're actually going to make a few New Year's resolutions for a number of our favorite sports figures and teams. They need some help. They might not know it. They need some help. We're going to try to help them out. Of course, the College Football National Championship is set for next Monday night. We will give you a preview of that big game, talk a little bit of college football. The NFL regular season is complete, and now the wild card round is set for the playoffs coming this next weekend. And like I said, a few coaches moving around. Had a little bit of activity in the NFL concerning some coaches. And of course, UFC 207 did take place this last Friday night. Might have to discuss that a little. And of course, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, and I tell you very transparently, I don't know which way the Top 5 is going to go. Top 5 has a mind of its own. It's been going on for a number of years now. I don't have any idea what direction the Top 5 will go. Sometimes I end up surprised at the destination we get to, and I've got to tell you, yeah, it's kind of like that again this week. It's a top five you're going to want to make sure that you stick around for. Did you have a happy new year? I hope that you did. I hope that you are safe. I hope you enjoyed bringing in the new year with loved ones. Or maybe you did all those things. Maybe you had a phenomenal new year. Maybe you were with the right people. I know I was. I was with family and friends. Great time. Enjoyed the company that we had. You were having good food. Maybe you were having some beverages, whatever it might have been. Did you watch Mariah Carey ring in the new year? Did you see Mariah Carey? And I know we don't go into the world of entertainment too much on the Daily Dose. We kind of stick with sports. We kind of also stick with making fun of people, so I guess we can talk about Mariah Carey. She was at Times Square. If you missed it, pop star diva Mariah Carey was performing at Times Square, taking the stage to perform for the big ball drop that they do in New York City. Pretty cool. Times Square. I don't know if I could go out there and hang with that crowd, but I mean, there's like a million people. There's like 1 million people in that area. And there were like 1 million people singing along to Mariah Carey. Well, everyone was singing along except for Mariah. I don't have any idea what in the world she was doing. She was wandering around, just chatting, just talking to people. You guys sing instead. I don't know what in the world that was. I mean, I'm watching it and we're just kind of wondering, what is she doing? Is she coherent at all? Does she have any idea what she's doing? At that point, I felt like Prince, George Michael, and David Bowie could have pulled off a better performance than she did. Last week, our Daily Dose Top 5 counted down the five ways that 2016 could have been worse. A little bit of transparency. For the record, just so you know, number 6 was Mariah Carey performs in public. But I just missed that. I didn't think she was going to do that. I just missed it. Might have to start adding a number 6 on there. Man, Mariah Carey making me look bad. Jeez, that was rough. I mean, just the perfect ending to 2016, though, wasn't it? If you were sitting there and you said, how could 2016 end on a better note than her staggering off and saying, well, it doesn't get any better than that, which I think is what she said. She said something like that as she staggered off the stage. No, that was the cherry on top. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Mariah. Thanks for just reminding us one more time. 2016 kind of got a little bit messy. You know, everyone around New Year's does the same thing, don't we? We all do the same thing. We start reflecting. You start looking back. What can we do to get better? How do we get better in the new year? Maybe I'm looking here at the Daily Dose. How are we going to get better? I'm always trying to figure out personally. Maybe you're saying, I want to get more spiritual, or I want to lose weight. I want to stop an addiction. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's smoking, whatever it might be. Maybe I'm going to eat healthier. What do we all need to do to get better? Here's the thing to keep in mind with New Year's. Christmas time, just the week before, Christmas time you do the Christmas wish. What do I want? What do I want? I want this toy. I want this item. I want these clothes. I want this gift card. New Year's resolutions, though, it's not what you want. You don't wish for things like that. You say, what do I need? I need this. I need to eat better. I need to stop smoking. I need to stop drinking. If I'm Mariah Carey, I need to stop performing in public. Whatever it might be. Could be anything. Right now, let's take a look around the sports world. And again, we're going to give some of our favorite sports figures not what they want, but what they need. It's a few people. Going to just give them a little hint. Here's a resolution. Might want to take this. Might want to go with this. I'll give you an example. First up, former NBA coach George Karl. What could George Karl need? Releasing the tell-all book. Had the tell-all book. George Karl, guy has won everywhere he went. Now, everywhere he's went, he's kind of butted heads with somebody. He always seems to... Remember, he butted heads with Ray Allen? Butted heads with Carmelo Anthony? Butted heads with DeMarcus Cousins? Wherever he goes, he doesn't always get along with it. Didn't always get along with Gary Payton. Him and Payton didn't get along very well up in Seattle. What does George Karl need? Now he writes the book. He writes the book, comes out, kind of bashes everybody. George Karl needs to resolve to write the book you should write. See, here's something that a lot of people don't realize. There's the book you want to write. There's the book that you should write. And when you write the book that you want to write, then you get everyone angry at you. So George needed to resolve to write the book you should write. He's going to sell a few more books. I'll give him that. He's going to sell a few more books. But he's also pretty much burning a lot of bridges. Nobody's going to want to work with the guy. Nobody's going to ever hire the guy again. He's probably done in the NBA. It's kind of funny because him and Phil Jackson have kind of turned into grumpy old men, haven't they? Like, you can't go 5-10 minutes without either George Karl or Phil Jackson, you know, leaning out the window and, get off my lawn! Seems like it's happening every single week. George Karl, resolve to write the book you should write, not the one you wanted to write. I know you want to bash your players. I've wanted to bash players in the past that I coach. I'm not going to actually put that out in public, though. Can't do that. To Denver Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak. Of course, the big news this week, Gary Kubiak going to retire, going to give it up. To Gary Kubiak, you need to resolve to get yourself healthy. Here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this here in just a few minutes. Coaching is an inherently unhealthy profession. It is not good for you to be a coach. Talk about that a little bit more in just a second. To UFC fighter Ronda Rousey. Again, I want to talk about this a little bit more later, but you need to resolve to get yourself a new trainer. She looked ill-prepared for her fight on Friday. To Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Nick Saban. What does Nick Saban need? Not what he wants. What does he need? I'll tell you right now. Nick Saban better resolve to watching some old videotapes. You better go back and put on a few tapes, Nick. Because otherwise you're going to be in trouble. I want you to think about the big losses that Alabama has taken in their history under Nick Saban. Tim Tebow. Johnny Manziel. Cardale Jones. Cam Newton. Nick Marshall. What do all those guys have in common? They've all got one common thing. They could all move around in the pocket. When we saw what he was going to face against Washington, we kind of all knew he's going to chew up Washington, right? Those mobile quarterbacks that can get out, create some things with their legs, they're going to give him a little bit of problem. They have in the past. Nick, you better go watch that videotape and find out how you're going to fix that, because Deshaun Watson is the kind of quarterback that has given you those problems. And next week in the national championship game, he's going to be looking to giving you the kind of problems that could end your perfect season. Better go get on those videotapes, Nick. To Cavaliers All-Star LeBron James. What could LeBron James need? He's got everything, doesn't he? Big, strong, probably still the baddest player in the NBA, isn't he? What could LeBron James possibly need? I'm going to give you a resolution for LeBron James. Please resolve to stop being such a millennial. You don't have to get offended by everyone who mentions your name ever. I realize that we live in this Twitter universe, and if someone on the other side of the planet says, I think he's kind of a jerk, you don't actually have to respond to that. You can just go, yeah, well, I don't care. You think whatever you want. Not LeBron. Because see, here's the thing. No one cares what Phil Jackson says. His own players back in New York don't care what he says. Somehow, LeBron's going to come out and take a stand and have a march and have a parade and all, you know, against what Phil Jackson said. There's no way. Phil, you're not going to talk that way about me. Who cares? I could care less what Phil Jackson says. No one cares if Draymond Green called you a naughty word in the NBA Finals. You weren't the victim of a hate crime. He just called you a naughty word. Can you imagine back in the day, Larry Bird stepping up to the podium, or Magic stepping up to the podium? Just like to announce that Isaiah Thomas called me a naughty word. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to stand for it. We're not going to have this. I feel it's inappropriate. My feelings were hurt. My feelings were very hurt. I'm going to have to take some time away from the game. Like, shut up! Quit being a baby! It's not like you got hurt! It's words. Goodness, he's such a millennial. To new Alabama offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. I told you, it is hard to serve two masters, isn't it? Lane Kiffin couldn't do it. And you know what he was doing. You know what he's doing. Okay, if you don't know the story, as Alabama is preparing for the national championship, their offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin, already took the job at Florida Atlantic. And I told you, he's going to be busy. You don't just take a job like that and sit around doing nothing. You start doing recruiting, you start looking at the players you have, you start hiring a coaching staff, and I'll guarantee he's sitting in a film room with Nick Saban instead looking on his like phone or something and watching a video of a player he's trying to recruit, or watching, you know, an old Florida Atlantic game so he can try to figure out how his linebacking crew is. That doesn't work for Nick Saban. So Nick Saban's like, hey, you gotta go. Get out of here. So they brought in Steve Sarkisian instead. Of course, Sarkisian is the guy that was fired from Southern Cal. Was that last year? For being drunk like every single day on the job? Here's a little bit of a problem. Alabama, that area of the country has moonshine. Steve Sarkisian, you've got to resolve to stay away from the moonshine. Your nickname is Sark, not Cuddy Sark. Remember, stay away from that, Steve. Gonna get yourself in trouble. To Colorado head football coach Mike McIntyre. Colorado had a pretty good year. We're expecting Colorado to be in the basement of the Pac-12. They ended up playing in the Pac-12 championship game. Mike McIntyre, though, you've got to resolve to be the coach you were in the first 10 games. Because I don't know what happened in those last two. Those last two against Washington and against Oklahoma State, you got beat like a drum. And I know they were banged up a little bit. They weren't banged up that much. Now I don't know what to believe when I look at Colorado. Are they the team that we saw beating the Utahs and beating the Oregons and beating all those teams? Are they the team we just saw getting drilled like we thought they were going? That's the team we thought we were getting. Now I'm not sure. Mike McIntyre, you better be that coach we saw in the first 10 games. Because those last two games were horrible. Two boxing. Boxing needs a lot. Boxing needs to resolve to actually having real fights with actual bona fide fighters involved. You know how UFC does like every single month? Like once a month? There's no ducking. Stop trying to give us the fight we wanted like 5 years later. Remember, we all wanted the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight like back in 2009. And then they were like, well, I don't know. We can't come together on this. We'll come together or shut it down. Because right now, boxing is about to go away forever. That's just a fact. And as much of a boxing fan as I have been, I have always been growing up, I'm telling you right now, UFC does it better. They actually put real fighters in real fights against each other. Boxing, I mean, I know people think, well, the money's still going to come in. There is no star. Name the biggest star in boxing right now. Probably Triple G. And no one will fight him. Boxing, you're going to have to put stars in the ring or you're going to have to go away. And if you think it can't happen, again, we're already starting to see it's fallen a long, long ways. There's no one right now to even get you to watch a pay-per-view fight. Right now, here's the state of boxing. The biggest fight that's out there for boxing right now is trying to convince the public that a retired fighter might fight a guy in a different sport. That's where boxing is right now. To Penn State head football coach James Franklin. Penn State looked pretty good in that Rose Bowl. I know they ended up losing that game. That was a pretty good game. I want James Franklin just to resolve to be very, very forgiving of the college football playoff committee. Because I'm telling you right now, I would think after watching Ohio State in the college football playoff and watching Penn State in the Rose Bowl, I would think your Nittany Lions could have definitely at least scored a field goal against Clemson. I don't know if they win the game, but they probably could have at least put something up on the scoreboard, which Ohio State couldn't do. That's embarrassing. After the committee bent over backwards to jam Ohio State in there, even though they hadn't done the so-called requirements to get there, they can't even put up a point. They didn't score a single digit. Can't get a safety. You can't fluke your way into a field goal. Nothing. Yeah, Penn State, sorry, you're going to have to be a little more forgiving. Resolve to be forgiving, Penn State. Because, yeah, you kind of got screwed on that deal. To the NFL. Of course, everything's going well in the NFL, right? They don't have anything to worry about. The NFL needs to resolve, first off, to shorten the preseason by 2 games. You hear the 4 games. You say, well, who cares? They force season ticket holders to buy those hideous preseason games. So shorten the preseason by 2 games. That's step one. And step two, I understand the Thursday night games, like that toothpaste is out of the tube. We can't go take them back without just admitting humiliating defeat. But can you do this, NFL? Can you only schedule Thursday night games for teams coming out of their bye week? Doesn't that kind of make sense? Let's see, 16-week season, 32 teams. Carry the three. Yeah, that comes out right. Yep, you go to a bye week, and when you come back, you play on the Thursday. Seems like that would make a little more sense than what we have right now. Because right now, you have these teams having literally no practice for the coming game. Monday's the day off. Tuesday, you come back in and maybe do a walkthrough. Wednesday, you're traveling. Doesn't make any sense. And we wonder why this Thursday product is so horrible. Now, I understand. Sports leagues in general are star-driven. Right now in the NFL, there's not a ton of stars. We've talked about that before. Not a ton of stars. Not a lot of must-see players in the NFL today. But when you put a product like that on the field, nobody's watching that. It's not that hard to fix it. And stop thinking like George Costanza and just saying, well, why are we watching it? Because it's on TV. If you think your league can never fail, take a look at baseball. Because remember, baseball was the national pastime. It's now an afterthought. No one cares about baseball. Take a look at boxing. Just talked about it. Take a look at horse racing. Again, those used to be big. They're not anymore. Don't oversaturate the market. Pull back on those preseason games and let's try to make a little more sense about the Thursday night product. because yes, it is a bit of a poop fest, as Richard Sherman said. To the makers of the ESPN 30 for 30 series, resolve to keep giving us interesting stories about sports figures that either we actually cared about or give us that interesting story we haven't heard before. They've put out some really, really good ones. Love the U. The U was great. Elway to Marino, very, very good. The Two Escobars. If you haven't seen the 30 for 30, The Two Escobars, that might be one of the most incredible sports stories I have ever heard in my life. That is absolutely insane. You have to go watch that. Go find it. It's on Netflix. It's probably on demand somewhere. Go find The Two Escobars. I bet you can probably find it on YouTube if you looked hard enough. Two Escobars is amazing. Hillsborough. I don't know if you saw Hillsborough. Very, very interesting. The Len Bias story. Benji was very, very good playing for the Mob, Free Spirits, Once Brothers, Unguarded. The Christian Leitner story was very, very good. Excellent stuff. The newest 30 for 30, Catholics versus Convicts, it was solid. It was solid. Interesting story. Had a couple of different background things that I didn't know about that big game. Very, very good. Now, I could do without the Steinbrenner one or Jimmy the Greek or the 86 Mets, but that's just me. But on the whole, 30 for 30 series, very, very entertaining. Very, very good. To golfer Tiger Woods, resolve to just being okay. You're not the greatest anymore. You know, Tiger, health-wise, just can't do it. But the thing that I think he struggles the most with is that competitive fire of, well, I can't lay up. You can lay up. It's okay. And stop going out and breaking your back, trying to get that long game back. It's not coming back. But you know what? You can still have a good short game. And that is what separated Tiger Woods from everyone else. Yes, he could drive the thing 400 yards. I get that. But remember how good his short game was when he was in his prime? It was incredible. Focus on that and you might, maybe, actually start competing again. Stop worrying about crushing the ball. We know you're probably taking steroids. I don't even think the PGA tests for steroids, do they? I don't think they do. John Daly was playing. That tells you all you need to know. John Daly was playing and wasn't getting banned for any sort of substance abuse. I've got to think, if they're not testing for crystal meth, they're not testing for steroids. So Tiger, tone back a little bit. It's okay. You don't have to crush the ball. Just get back to that short game and you probably could compete a little bit. To Duke basketball player Grayson Allen, can you please, please resolve to stop sweeping the leg, Johnny? Oh my goodness. It's happened now 3-4 times, and those are just the ones that have been called. That's not every single time it's happened. I've got to think this is happening in practice. That doesn't just flare up. That's how he's lived his life. That's how he's played probably all through his whole life. This is college basketball. You're not in Cobra Kai. Stop sweeping the leg. Idiot. That's on the coaching staff. You can put a stop to that really, really easy. Remember, always remember in athletics, as a coach, the quickest way to a player's head is through his butt on the bench. Super easy. Super easy. To Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith, can you resolve to stop taking off your shirt? Look, we get it. You like taking off your shirt. But every time I turn on the TV and I see J.R. Smith, the shirt's coming off. Cavaliers win the championship, they have the parade, off comes the shirt. Indians are in the World Series, off comes the shirt. Ohio State has a big football game, off comes the shirt. The Cavs are visiting like a local retirement home, off comes the shirt. Settle down, JR. Let's make this deal with JR Smith. You can take off your shirt for every assist that you register. That ought to fix it, shouldn't it? What does he pick up? An assist about once a year? Yeah, so let's go with that. To NFL teams, everyone across the league, can you please resolve to stop acting like Tony Romo is going to cure what fixes you? And maybe that's more on the media because they keep jamming it down our throat. But I'm looking at these teams that might need a quarterback. Broncos, New York Jets, Chicago Bears, maybe the Houston Texans, even though they already spent $72 million on a quarterback. Buffalo Bills. Since when is Tony Romo such a huge prize? Tony Romo has been 2-4 in the playoffs in his career. Slow down on Tony Romo being the secret ingredient to your Super Bowl run. That's not how that's going to go. Dude hasn't played a complete injury-free season since like Wade Phillips was the head coach in Dallas. So I know you can sit there and say, look, he's got all the tools. He's got all the talent. He can make all the throws. He understands the game. He's so smart. He's more cerebral now. I get it all. I understand it. It doesn't make any difference if he can't stay upright. And he can't. And now you're talking about taking him away from that Dallas offensive line? That line that's a wall in front of him? Yeah, that's just what he needs. He needs to play behind the Denver Broncos offensive line. He's going to get broken half in about two plays here. Yeah. Tony Romo is not the savior that everyone's trying to spin that he is. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys have been about a 500 team over the last few years, aside from maybe one season under Tony Romo. And in that season, they still lost early in the playoffs. Let's get past the whole Tony Romo's going to fix things. Finally, our last New Year's resolution. We're going to give this one to Duke head basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski. News came out this week. Mike is going to be taking some time off to deal with a back problem. He's going to have back surgery. They're talking about 4 weeks. Could be a little bit more, could be a little bit less, right around a month. That's not good. That's not good for Duke basketball. I've told you, they've got a ton of talent up there. I don't know if they can put it all together, but when I hear Mike Krzyzewski going out with a back problem, again, coaching, not good for health. As a basketball coach in particular, hard on your back. It might not seem that way, but think of as a basketball coach, what you spend most of your time doing, standing. Not even moving, for the most part, standing. In practice, standing. In games, standing. That's why, for the most part, Krzyzewski sits on the bench. His back can't take the pain. If I'm sitting there and I'm looking, the last time Krzyzewski took that time off for the back, he missed a full season. And remember, Duke was horrible in that year that he was out. I mean, they were really, really bad. So what could we give to Mike Krzyzewski? What could be hurting his back? He's just had a ton of problems just with his back. Resolve to stop getting tripped by Grayson Allen. Is Allen doing that to him too? Maybe that's the problem. Stop getting tripped by Grayson Allen. If Grayson Allen is anywhere near you, Mike Krzyzewski, you can't afford to take the hit. You've got to put a stop to that. I told you, put him on the bench or something. But when you're tripping and you're falling down and you're hurt, that back is not getting any better. I guess that's the resolution. Stop getting tripped by Grayson Allen. UFC 207 took place on Friday night. This past Friday is a little bit weird having it on a Friday instead of a Saturday. But I guess with the New Year's Eve weekend, that's the way they scheduled that. And Ronda Rousey returned to the ring for the first time. It's the first time Ronda Rousey had fought since getting knocked out by Holly Holm back in 2015. I think that was November 2015. It's a long time. And I will give Rousey some credit. I will give her credit. She stepped into the ring against Amanda Nunes, who is a powerful fighter. It's not like she fought some set-up tomato can. She went in and said, okay, I'm fighting the big dog. I give her some credit. That was courageous. It really was. Unfortunately, then the fight started. And if you didn't see the fight, maybe you just heard about the fight. If you didn't see it, I actually watched the fight. Nunes sprints across the ring and smashes Rousey repeatedly in her face until the official stops the fight after a whole 48 seconds. And if you didn't see the fight, that's what you missed. Nunes running across the ring. Bam, 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 bam. A little bit of movement, bam, 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 and the ref stops it. That's it. It's rough. It's brutal. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm struggling with when I look at this situation with Ronda Rousey. What do people say about Ronda Rousey? What have people been saying over the last 2-3 years? Oh, she's Mike Tyson. She's a knockout artist. She takes fighters out in 30 seconds. Wait a second. What is Ronda Rousey's biggest strength? It's her grappling ability. It's that one leg, two leg takedown, choking someone out, getting that quick submission. Now, in coaching, and I've told you before, I coach for a number of years. In coaching, there are a lot of coaches, I'm not necessarily one of them, there are a lot of coaches who swear by the whole Sun Tzu's Art of War principles. Like they look at every single principle and how can we apply that to our sport? Now, I kind of struggled with that. Because when we're talking about war, comparing that to basketball, didn't really, like, yeah, I guess I can take a little bit from it, but it kind of seems silly to me, comparing basketball and war or football and war, whatever it might have been. So I don't particularly buy it. But one rule that I will say at least applies here. One rule that Sun Tzu had in his Art of War, and I'm sure you can go find the book or you can go find it on Wikipedia or whatever. It's out there. One rule that is out there that he said you always had to do as you were going into battle. Know not only your enemy, but know yourself. Knowing just your enemy isn't enough. Knowing just yourself isn't enough. Know both. In her last two fights, Ronda Rousey hasn't grappled one single time. She has stayed outside and gotten punched in her face. But what in the world are her trainers telling her? How are they training her? Think about her training facility. I don't know if you've watched that much on Rousey. Her gym is a boxing gym. They're telling her she's the knockout queen. And as a result, you see what happens. That's not her strength. They're trying to make her into something that she's not. And you could see in that fight on Friday night, I'm watching that. Fight starts, Nunes heads across the ring, and you could see Rousey like, uh-oh. This doesn't look good. She looked absolutely petrified. She was completely out of her element. She's not being true to herself. And Friday night, that fight, it looks like she might be done. And I'll be honest, I want Ronda Rousey to come back. Because when they show Ronda on the big screen, at whatever venue she's fighting at, the little girls scream. Little kids watched. I had a 12-year-old friend of my daughter say she wants to watch the Rousey fight. I want to see Ronda Rousey. I want to watch. I really like Ronda Rousey. That kind of thing where it's getting people involved in a sport that they normally wouldn't care about, I love. Nunes doesn't have that kind of following. Holly Holm doesn't have that kind of following. But Ronda Rousey did. I'm telling you right now, Ronda Rousey, fire your management and get back to what it is that you do. If she had gone into this fight and had wrestled with Nunes and it hadn't worked and Nunes got out of it and Nunes still beat her, I would say, hey, that's it. You couldn't do what it is that you even do. That's not what happened. And you can see that's not the way she's training. That's not the way she's preparing. Ronda Rousey has some things to fix. She might be done. She might be finished after what we saw. But I think she could get back in the fight game if she actually hooked up with a trainer that actually taught her the right way. Hey, we've got a lot to get to. Got to get to the NFL. They finished their regular season, of course. Want to talk a little bit about the playoffs coming up. The college football championship game is set. Plus, the Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up. You don't want to miss that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you like beer?
Beer.
Do you like rock and roll?
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Do you like drunk Australians?
Beer.
Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show?
I don't know where this is going.
Jump on rogueintel.com/remedium.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case,
and I'm a princess,
and I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com.
Find unmissable home and electrical deals in the end of season sale at very.co.uk. Right now, you can save up to 50% on selected sofas, up to £300 on selected beds and mattresses, and up to £150 on selected appliances, like Hotpoint and Hoover. Shop now at very.co.uk for more amazing deals on fashion, home and electricals. Hurry, the appliances offer ends on the 6th of January. Get more out of every day with very.co.uk.
The Littlewoods January sale is now on. Own it with up to 50% off selected big brand fashion, home and electricals with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. Don't miss out. Fashion and footwear offer ends 23rd of January. Home and electricals offer ends 2nd of February.
Own it. Shop now at littlewoods.com.
We've got to get over to our NFL and college football. A lot of things going on over in the NFL this week. Of course, the NFL finished up their regular season, capping off week 17, and now we head into the playoffs. I told you last week there were going to be some coaches fired. Didn't see quite as many as maybe we thought, but we did see some coaches lose their jobs. Now, already gone, we already had the Los Angeles Rams had fired Jeff Fisher. They didn't want to go, 7-9 again, so they got rid of him. The Jacksonville Jaguars had fired Gus Bradley, made him fly home on the team plane. And then the Buffalo Bills had fired Rex Ryan, tired of not doing anything every single year. This past week, the San Diego Chargers fire head coach Mike McCoy. Now, I think Mike McCoy is actually a decent coach. I don't think that he's a bad coach. But I think that's a very, very tough situation. And I wonder if they are looking forward and saying, if we end up moving to Los Angeles, which is a possibility. I know the NFL doesn't necessarily want to lose that franchise in San Diego. But San Diego hasn't exactly been the most accommodating at keeping the Chargers there. And as a result, I wonder if they just say, hey, let's just get somebody new in here. Let's just kind of start rebuilding. Let's just do this over. Mike McCoy, gone. The San Francisco 49ers fired Chip Kelly, who had been there all of 1 year. And I think they had kind of seen enough and said, okay, that's about enough of this. The problem with San Francisco, they don't have any players. Chip Kelly, it sounded like he was actually getting along and playing well with players. It didn't sound like there was any kind of an issue as far as that. But there was the issue of just being horrible every time out and really not, even competing all that much. So that's what, five coaches? Now, earlier in the week, we did see the New York Jets started to shake up their coaching staff. They didn't fire Todd Bowles, who they probably should have, because we saw the New York Jets completely quit. Like, say what you will about Mike McCoy with the San Diego Chargers. They didn't quit. The Chargers were still battling. I'll give them that. I can even say that a little bit about San Francisco and Chip Kelly. Todd Bowles in New York, the Jets quit. But the New York Jets have fired Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator. He is now gone. And five position coaches are also gone. The quarterbacks coach, running backs coach, defensive line coach, outside linebackers coach, defensive backs coach. Basically what they did was they said, hey, we're going to fire everyone else on the staff except for Todd Bowles. And for some reason, he's going to keep his job. Not really sure what that's about. But all these firings and all this movement we saw, we pretty much expected, didn't we? We know it's coming. We know these head coaches are going to be going. The surprise to most of the country, and surprise to many people, unless you listen to the Daily Dose, was that the Denver Broncos' Gary Kubiak resigned due to health reasons. Now, we said it last week that we thought it was going to happen. The Daily Dose actually was on top of this and said, hey, don't be surprised if that happens. That actually could happen. A lot of people said we were idiots. I got cussed out a lot on social media. Thanks. I didn't get one single apology on Sunday when this news came out either. I just want to say for the record, nobody reached out and said, hey, you know what? You nailed that one. Our bad. I know that I cussed you out earlier in the week when we heard the podcast or we saw some of the things you'd written or whatever. Nobody reached out and was like, hey, nice job on that. Good call. You nailed that one. I didn't get a single apology from those people. Doesn't seem right. Guess that's just the line of work that we're in. Hey, don't underestimate the health situation when it comes to Gary Kubiak. Talked about that a little bit earlier with both Kubiak and Mike Krzyzewski. You know, we jump on these stories when we see a guy like this retiring or resigning or whatever it might be. The local media, at least here in Denver, starts playing up the angle of, well, actually management just wanted him to fire some coaches and he didn't want to do that. It's not really about his health. Hey, wait a second. Let me just throw this out to you. I'm going to give you a job opportunity, okay? Are you ready? Here's a job opportunity for you. I want you to think about if you want this. You've got really, really bad hours. You've got insanely, insanely high stress, and you've got tons of mandatory overtime. Do you want that job? Is that the job you're going to go out and get? Because that's what these guys are doing. And I'm not saying feel bad for them, but understand, that is what comes with one of those jobs. Now, if you took one of those jobs, you take a bad hours, high stress, tons of overtime job, and you started to have health issues, who would really be surprised? You know what's more surprising? That more of these coaches aren't doing the same thing that Gary Kubiak just did. That's more surprising to me. Because when you think of those three factors in any job, you tell me, would you be having health problems? And I mean, Gary Kubiak has kids. He's now had two major health scares. I would assume he's looking forward to grandkids and those kind of things. That kind of stuff drives you out of a job. It wasn't like he had two minor scares. Again, he had what they labeled a mini stroke. A mini stroke. And then this last time sounded like very similar symptoms, but instead they labeled it a complex migraine. That kind of tells me it might have been the exact same thing. And if that's the case, yeah, you probably need to go do something else. Gary Kubiak resigns in Denver. Pretty solid legacy in Denver. Not so much as a head coach, but you got to realize Gary Kubiak played in Denver for 8-9 seasons as a backup to John Elway. Didn't get called on very often, but when he did, was always very, very good, was always dependable, nothing flashy, but was always a solid, solid backup, and understood the game, knew where the ball should go, understood what you should try to do. Once he retired from playing, remember he had gone out to San Francisco with Mike Shanahan, ended up coming back. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach when the Denver Broncos won back-to-back Super Bowls in 97-98. And then he won the Super Bowl as the head coach last year in 2015. That's a pretty nice resume. That's not all bad for a guy who was, you know, drafted as an afterthought out of Texas A&M. Pretty good resume that Gary Kubiak leaves here in Denver. Now some of the coaching candidates, of course, being thrown out for the Broncos. Now, there are a number of people being thrown out. Let's go through just briefly some of the candidates that are actually out there. Atlanta offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan probably makes the most sense. Has a ton of ties here. Dad coached here for years. Could come in if he wanted to, probably keep the defensive coordinator Wade Phillips on staff. Kyle Shanahan, for my money, probably makes the most sense. He's a young guy. He's very young. I guess we'd have to see if he was up to the challenge. There's also talk about Miami defensive coordinator Vance Joseph. Since when exactly does Miami's defense merit a head coaching job? I'm not sure if I understand that one. I know the Broncos have a little bit of a history with Vance Joseph. He also went to school in Colorado. He went to the University of Colorado in Boulder, played a little bit up there. I don't know why you'd want to bring Miami's defense here, but that's whatever. Like I talked about before, Mike McCoy, that just was, you know, relieved of his duties in San Diego. He had some history here, had some very, very good years here coaching Peyton Manning. I'll throw out a couple other names. What about Oakland Raiders offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave? You know, Bill Musgrave, born and raised in Grand Junction, Colorado, went to Grand Junction High School. Played briefly back in the mid-90s for the Broncos. Well, and by played, I mean sat on the bench holding a clipboard watching John Elway play. But still, Bill Musgrave wouldn't be bad. The job he's done back there with Derek Carr, that's not too bad. Here's the thing I don't want to hear about when it comes to this Denver Broncos job. I don't want to hear about the Nick Sabans or Urban Meyers or Jim Harbaughs. And you know what I really don't want? I don't want to hear about the Peyton Mannings. I've already heard Peyton Manning. What about Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning, I love the guy. He's never coached anything ever in his entire life. And for the most part, those guys like that aren't usually the best coaches because they expect everyone to be them and they expect everyone to adapt to them. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let's stay away from those silly recommendations. I don't think Peyton Manning is going to be the head coach in Denver. I think that's kind of goofy. I don't really see any of those college guys. Why on earth would Nick Saban come to Denver, Colorado? You think we can pay him more money than Alabama can? I got news for you. We can't afford Nick Saban. There's nobody in the NFL, I don't think, that can afford to outbid Roll Tide down there. It's going to be tough to do. NFL playoffs are set. We are rolling into the NFL postseason right now. Let's take a quick look at how the NFL playoff field looks. Over in the AFC, top seed, New England Patriots. Patriots sitting right there at number one. Look like probably the team to beat in the AFC, maybe the team to beat in the NFL. Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs, who Kansas City kind of snuck their way past. They went out and actually played in their final week, though. A little bit different than some of the other teams. Chiefs went out and played and moved up to the number two. Number three is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who rested everyone. Number four, the Houston Texans. Number five, the Oakland Raiders, who apparently thought they had a bye week in week 17. And number six will be the Miami Dolphins. There are your six teams in the AFC. Over on the NFC side, the Cowboys have the top seed. Again, Dallas, one of the most dangerous teams out there. Number two, the Atlanta Falcons. Kind of like Atlanta. Keep an eye on the Atlanta Falcons. Don't sleep on them. Number three, the Seattle Seahawks. Number four, the Green Bay Packers. The Giants are at the 5, and the Detroit Lions come in at 6. Now, looking forward to Wild Card Weekend. On Saturday, we have got the Oakland Raiders at the Houston Texans. And when you hear that up front, of course, the first thing you might think of is, oh my, Houston made the playoffs. How in the world? When you play in that division, someone has to make the playoffs. I didn't think it would be Houston. I really didn't. I thought it would be Tennessee, maybe Indy. Somehow, Houston won enough games. I don't know how. Meanwhile, the Oakland Raiders, who had been rolling, have kind of finished the season with a bit of a whimper. First, you know, right before Christmas, they lose Derek Carr. Brutal. Brutal loss. Horrible loss for them. Derek Carr, MVP candidate, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Then this past week, they lose to the Denver Broncos 24-6 as Denver apparently rallied around the retirement of Gary Kubiak, and Oakland, who had everything to play for, played like they had nothing on the line. The loss, of course, drops Oakland from the 2 seed to the 5, so they get a road game against Houston, and if they win, they probably go to New England. There were people actually saying, well, I think Oakland just lost on purpose. Why? Like, what would be the possible benefit of doing that? To go play Brock Osweiler, I get that. But I want that home game, don't I? And I don't want to see New England any earlier than I have to. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Here's the added bonus. The Raiders could be starting rookie Connor Cook in this game after the Broncos knocked their second-string quarterback, Matt McGloin, out with a shoulder injury. They're saying it's some sort of a trapezius injury, and he is questionable for Sunday. Meanwhile, Texans starter Tom Savage was knocked out of their game against Tennessee in Week 17, and back came Brock Osweiler. Savage is now undergoing concussion protocol, and if he isn't cleared, remember, we thought we might be getting Tom Savage versus Matt McGloin. As bad as that was, we've drained a little more out of the pool. We could get Connor Cook versus Brock Osweiler. Now, this is going to sound crazy, and I apologize in advance. I think Brock Osweiler might win a playoff game. I know, I can't believe I'm saying that. We all know the problems that the Texans have and how bad they've looked all season. But remember that most of those problems are on the offensive side of the ball. That defense is actually pretty good, and it's especially good when they're playing at home. If Matt McGloin is healthy, I'll give Oakland a chance. I'll give them a chance if he's healthy. If it's Connor Cook, yeah, well, either way, I think the Raiders just have a hard time scoring. And we know that that Oakland defense isn't great. Plus, doesn't it seem like every single season, we have one awful team win an NFL playoff game? Like every year, there's that 8-8 team. There's that team that basically just got in because of geographically where they're located in the United States. And so they're in a horrible division. And as a result, they get to get in when like 10-6 teams are staying home. 11-5 teams are staying home. This year it's Houston. And we sit there, why did they get in? Can't we reseed the playoffs? Can't we do something? Can't we just take the best of the best of the best? Every year this happens. And then that awful team that sneaks in actually wins a playoff game. I think the Houston Texans could be that team. I think they may win a playoff game. And I think Brock Osweiler may win a playoff game this Saturday. Other game on Saturday. The Detroit Lions head to Seattle to face the Seahawks. And I'm telling you right now, don't be so quick to dismiss the Lions. Yes, I am taking the Seahawks at home. Seattle's got some issues. That offense is bad. They struggled to generate any sort of a running game on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers, who were just out there playing out the string. They had nothing to play for. The Detroit defense isn't very good. But Matt Stafford, he's kind of figured out how to play the position of quarterback in the NFL. Make fun of the name all you want. Jim Bob Cooter has got Matt Stafford playing pretty good football. And if that's the case, and Matt Stafford generates a few scores, Seattle may have a battle just to get past the wild card. At the beginning of the season, I picked the New England Patriots versus the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl rematch of 2 years ago. right now, feeling good about that Patriots pick, not feeling good at all about that Seattle pick. Seattle is going to have a tough time just getting out of the wild card game this coming Saturday. I think they'll win it because they're at home. Matt Stafford gets a few scores. Seattle could be in a little bit of trouble. On Sunday, we've got the Miami Dolphins versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Miami battled back to a one-score game on Sunday against New England. And then the Patriots woke up and were like, wait a second. We're the Patriots and you're the Dolphins. This isn't happening again this year. And then they blew them out 35-14. It seems like Miami has been playing a little over their head with quarterback Matt Moore. Remember I told you that the Dolphins weren't really going to miss Ryan Tannehill? Because you can't really tell the difference between him and Matt Moore anyways. They're both pretty average. And if it comes down to either one of them, you're probably in trouble. Like, you better make it come down to your defense and your running game. Because if you're asking Ryan Tannehill or Matt Moore or Cleo Lemon or whatever horrible quarterback it is that you have in at that time, you're probably in trouble. Now, having said that, I don't like the way Pittsburgh is going into these playoffs. And I realize that the Pittsburgh Steelers rested everyone against Cleveland on Sunday. You know, some of the problem with trying to do this whole we're resting everyone during the regular season is you don't have 80 guys on the roster. You've only got like 49, 50 guys on the roster. You can't rest everyone. So you have kind of your scrubs and then maybe a starter mixed in, and then the starter's out there getting beat up, getting frustrated. I don't like the way Pittsburgh is going into these playoffs. You shouldn't go into overtime against that Cleveland team ever. And can you imagine for one second if Cleveland Browns head coach Hugh Jackson had actually won two games in a row with that mess? That is a horrible team he's got back there. He has been dealt a really bad hand in Cleveland. If he would have won two games in a row beating the Chargers and then beating the Steelers, and he almost did it, I think they would have put a statue of him outside the stadium. So I'm going to take the Steelers in this game, but I don't like their defense. The only good thing is, I mean, they're facing Matt Moore and the Miami Dolphins, so that's probably enough this week. They should have enough to beat the Fish, but I don't like the Steelers too much going forward. That defense isn't very good. Final game of Wild Card Weekend will be the New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers. And is there another player right now that puts fear into opposing defenses like Aaron Rodgers? Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers is playing at an insanely high level. Maybe Matt Ryan, Tom Brady. I guess I can throw Ezekiel Elliott in that group. But Aaron Rodgers might be playing as well or better than any of those guys. Here's the one catch, though. The New York Giants have a really, really good defense. The Giants are currently allowing just 17 points per game. That is second in the NFL. You might look at that and go, oh, yeah, they got a decent defense. No. That doesn't really show how good they actually are, because remember that horrible Giants offense has committed 27 turnovers this year. That's 24th worst in the entire league. And teams still aren't scoring on the Giants. So they're getting great field position. They're getting the ball in advantageous positions, and they still can't score against that Giants defense. This game on Sunday is going to be strength versus strength and weakness versus weakness, as we have Packers offense versus Giants defense. Both very, very good units. And then on the other side, we've got Giants offense. Eli Manning, always looking confused. Maybe he's just been playing possum this whole time. Is that a possibility? He's just been kind of messing with us. And he's going to turn it up against a Packer defense that looks like it's getting a little bit more healthy and is starting to show some signs of life, but they're probably not great. I expect the Giants defense to keep this game close. The one wild card in this game is if Odell Beckham Jr. makes a few big plays, Giants might be able to steal one. But I think Aaron Rodgers is going to do enough to get the win. And the Packers are very dangerous in the NFC if they can get past the New York Giants this Sunday. Keep an eye on them. Right now in Las Vegas, it's not that they're getting more picks than anyone else, but the Green Bay Packers right now are the hottest pick in Vegas to go to the Super Bowl. The hottest. Something to keep in mind. Vegas usually has a pretty good read on what's going on. Let's jump over to college football. Bowls have been going for, I don't know, a few weeks now. You know, there were a couple of decent early bowl games. I don't know if you were you watching any of the bowl games? They're kind of tough to watch. I won't lie. I told you. It's kind of like that that final call at the bar. You don't know quite what you're going to get. There are a few decent ones. I told you. Appalachian State and Toledo in the Camellia Bowl, pretty decent game. That wasn't bad. Pretty good game. BYU versus Wyoming in the Poinsettia Bowl, also pretty fun game. BYU holds on. Wyoming gave it a pretty good shot. That was a decent game. Louisiana Tech beat Navy in the Armed Forces Bowl. That was a wild, crazy game. But there have been a lot of boring, awful early bowl games. You kind of need to expect that. You don't quite know what you're going to get. That's just kind of how it goes. But some of the more recent, bigger bowl games have actually been pretty fun. I don't know if you watched any of those. The Sun Bowl. Stanford hanging on to beat North Carolina 25-23. That was worth watching. Watched a little bit of that. That was a good game. The Cotton Bowl. Did you watch any of this? January 2nd, Wisconsin holding on to beat Western Michigan. Western Michigan gave him at least a little bit of a battle. It was decent. The Orange Bowl was great. If you saw the Florida State-Michigan game, Florida State somehow beat Michigan 33-32. That was a very entertaining game. That was a very wild finish. Pretty fun game down at the Orange Bowl. I know it. It was an exhibition. I told you. Had no implications whatsoever on anything. Wild, crazy finish down at the Orange Bowl. And then the Rose Bowl earlier this week. Southern California taking a big lead. Penn State coming back, taking a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. And somehow Southern Cal comes back, beats Penn State 52-49. One of the better bowl games that we've had probably in recent history. Probably the best bowl game that we saw this year. But the playoff games
playoffs
were absolutely horrible. Horrible playoff games. And here's what we've been looking forward to, right? As far as college football, man, just want to see the playoff. Who are the final four teams going to be? Can't wait for those games. They're going to be such great games. The best four teams. How do they match up? How's that going to be? Oh, that's going to be so much fun. Yeah, they've been terrible. First off, Alabama rolled Washington. Like, you hear that and you say, well, yeah, Bama's the big dog and Washington was the four seed and they barely got in and whatever. But the Alabama offense did literally nothing. Quarterback Jalen Hurts threw for 57 yards. 57 yards. The only catch was running back Bo Scarborough ran for 180 yards, but he only had 19 carries. Now, first off, why is he only getting 19 carries? I don't have any idea. I'm watching that game, and I'm going, just give him the ball on every single play. Until they stop him, give him the ball on every single play, because he almost had a 10-yard per carry average. But on the other side, the Bama defense allowed just 194 total yards, forced three turnovers. Bama won 24-7. It was pretty boring. Everybody's falling asleep. And here's the bad news. The 24-7 blowout game, that was the close one of the day. Because then, later that night, Clemson blew out Ohio State 31-0. 31-0. Yes, the Ohio State probably should have been home watching on the couch that night. Look, we knew, we talked about on the show, the Buckeyes receivers weren't much of a threat. But wow, that offensive line is actually worse than the receivers. Clemson had 11 tackles for loss. They allowed just 64 rushing yards and 215 total yards. I was just waiting to see, can Ohio State break the 50? Forget scoring. Could they even break the 50? Now, here's my question that I'd like to throw out there. Do these horrible bowl games make a case for more teams in the playoffs? We all want eight teams, right? We've talked about that. Eight teams, I think, would make more sense. A couple different ways you can do it, but eight teams make more sense. I'm watching these four teams going, man, we can't even come up with four, let alone eight. The second two are awful. And here's the thing. Because remember, last year, two terrible playoff games. Now this year, two terrible playoff games. I don't know if it's the pressure. I don't know if there's not enough teams to choose from. I don't know what it is, but this is starting to become a trend. And now we've had 2 years running where these are both 30-point games. Let's be real clear. That isn't anything anybody wants to watch. Do we jump up to eight? Should we just go back to two? Maybe we should go back to two. We can't apparently come up with enough good teams. I don't know. Really bad. And you know, once again, this year we are stuck with a South Carolina team versus an Alabama team. I've got news for you. No one west of the Mississippi River is going to watch this game at all. They've got to hope for a great game that night. because the national championship game isn't very inclusive nationally. That's like one little small corner of the South. That's who's going to be watching that game. Rest of the nation, they're going to be watching whatever's on TV that night. Not sure that's a game that's going to bring in the viewers. So let's talk national championship game. Clemson versus Alabama. Who's going to win it? Clemson versus Alabama. Offense versus defense. Of course, Clemson, high-powered offense, Deshaun Watson. Alabama, the physical, tough defense. You've got Dabo Swinney on one side, Clemson coach, versus Nick Saban on the other side. What we basically have, we have like loud, annoying little man versus quiet, annoying little man on the coaching side of it. Now, I'm looking at this game, and I'm trying to pick who I actually think is going to win this game. And I'm telling you, when I look at this game, and it might sound a little bit crazy, when I look at this game, it's all Clemson to me. They can run the ball, at least effectively. Deshaun Watson is extremely dangerous. He can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. And their defense, it's not great, but it's very, very aggressive. And against the conservative Alabama offense, that might be enough. And then, with Alabama, we've got the whole Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian mess. And no, it's not like they're going to change their whole offensive scheme. They're not going to come out running triple option wishbone or anything in this game. But who gets a brand new offensive coordinator right before the biggest game of the season? This could be an absolute disaster for Alabama. They may get lit up by that high-powered offense on Monday night, and they could get beat by 7-10 points. I think Clemson is going to win their first national championship since 1981. And yet, okay, I know that in the biggest games, the team with the best defense has the advantage. Offense could be a little bit tight. Everyone starts off a little bit conservative. And if both sides are keyed up, it's usually the offense that takes a little bit of time to get clicking. And Clemson had better win the turnover battle. Because if they don't win the turnover battle, Bama is deadly. If you turn the football over against them, you can't do that. And you know what? I also know that when top offenses face top defenses, it is usually the defense that wins those battles. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think Jalen Hurts does enough. I think Bo Scarborough runs tough. And I think the Alabama defense carries them to another title. I'm taking Alabama in a close game. But make no mistake, I will be cheering for Clemson to roll the tide on Monday night. So the holiday season is over now. No more gifts to buy. No more things to buy for anybody, right? Wrong. I already have a few friends with birthdays in January and February. And don't forget that Valentine's Day is coming very, very quickly as well. I'm sure you've already seen at the grocery store. Those idiots already have their Easter and like 4th of July stuff up. So if you need a gift, if you're looking to purchase for someone, or maybe you just want something for yourself, maybe you've got some holiday money to spend, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Loot Crate, I've told you, delivers the best in collectibles, apparel, gadgets, and art. You can go order a crate, a subscription of crates, or just individual items if you see something over there that you particularly like. Of course, they got Marvel gear, anime, Firefly, Halo, South Park. They've got gaming crates. I told you before, they've got pet crates. The January crate coming out this month is called Origins, and it contains origins of the greatest heroes the world has ever known. You might want to check that one out as well. And you know, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you place your order, put Daily Dose in the coupon box, you'll get 10% off. Loot Crate kicks us some money, which we then forward to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund. That actually helps some kids get involved in sports. You get what you need. You get the gifts you want. Maybe you get the gear that you personally wanted. Your loved ones get cool stuff, and some needy kids get some help and get involved in sports. Everybody wins. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, this week, talked about a little bit earlier. Of course, Steve Sarkisian was just hired at Alabama to be the offensive coordinator, with Lane Kiffin moving on to his new job at Florida Atlantic. I'm not sure how Kiffin got himself fired on his day off. Must have been trying to build a clubhouse or something. But it's good to see that Steve Sarkisian got a second chance. That is what New Year's is all about, right? Chance to be better than we were? Now, we all know, we've talked about it, Steve Sarkisian has had some problems drinking. He went through, apparently, some sort of speed rehab course. Like, remember, he said he was going through rehab, and then, like, 2 weeks later, he's like, hey, I'm done with rehab. And we're like, what course did you go through? I've never seen a course quite that fast. But apparently now, Sarkisian is all better. Well, here at the Daily Dose, we actually have a little bit of an announcement. Yes, we got our hands on his very private New Year's resolution list. And I'm going to open the New Year's resolution list right now and take a look and see what he has made for his New Year's resolutions. I haven't read these yet. So I'm going to be really, really interested to see what new Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian has made for his five New Year's resolutions. Also, pretty ironic, I think, that he made five resolutions and we do a Daily Dose Top 5. Coincidence? You know, I think not. Probably not. So I haven't read these yet. I'm going to check these out and open these the same as everyone else. Let's see what the top five Steve Sarkisian New Year's resolutions are. Number five. Let's see. Number five. Check off number four. Submit to a higher power off that old rehab list. And in parentheses, he has Nick Saban. I don't think Nick Saban counts as submitting to a higher power. Isn't that one of the things in AA that you got to go through? Got a higher power. Something's ahead. That doesn't count. Taking a job under Nick Saban doesn't qualify as you getting to check off number four on the rehab list. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Sorry, Steve. That doesn't count. Okay, let's move on to number four. Number four on his list. Send Lane Kiffin a thank you bottle of bourbon. If you can't find his address, keep the bottle and just send him a thank you text instead. Again, that doesn't seem necessary. For a guy that has a drinking problem, I'm not sure we want Steve Sarkisian buying a bottle of bourbon to supposedly send to someone else. I think that might be counterproductive to his cause. All right, let's see. You know, like I talked about, Alabama, huge game, national championship game coming up. Let's see what Steve Sarkisian has on his number three on his resolution list. Find out if Nick Saban is ticklish. I don't know what that means. I don't have any idea what that means. That seems a little bit odd that he would want to. Nick Saban doesn't seem like he'd be the ticklish kind of guy, does he? What if we found out Nick Saban, like he's all, you know, hard, like Bill Belichick kind of guy, is all serious and talks real low and he doesn't give any information, where he's going to go out and try to do the best job we can do. What if you found out like he was like insanely ticklish, like you couldn't hardly touch him? I guess if Steve Sarkisian wants to find out if Nick Saban has a softer side, I guess that's up to him. Seems kind of weird to me. Number two, Steve Sarkisian New Year's resolutions. Dig a little deeper into the University of Alabama employee rulebook. Is drinking on the job a fireable offense or simply just frowned upon? See, again, I don't think that that's necessary. I don't think you can drink on many, like there's not that many jobs that they're okay with you drinking on the job, Steve. Either way, this is an institution of higher learning. I don't think it's just a frowned upon offense. You can't drink on the job is what I'm trying to say. Somewhere in that employee rule book, it's going to say you are not allowed to drink on the job. That's just a guess. I'm just guessing, but it seems like that would probably make sense. That was number two. So what could be the number one resolution for Steve Sarkisian? New offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama, his number one New Year's resolution, absolutely no singing the Alabama alma mater while drunk, in public with Mariah Carey. There you have it, folks. Hey, next week we will be recapping that college football national championship and we'll be looking forward to the NFL divisional playoffs. Plus, got to talk a little bit of NBA. College hoops is starting to get a little bit better. And as you saw just now, we always have the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that is going to go. Hey, wherever it is that you download the podcast, please go over to that website or to that app and simply click the subscribe button. It helps us get seen by a few more people, and then you will be sure not to miss any new episodes. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. Please be sure to do any shopping that you might need to do at lootcrate.com/Daily Dose and enter Daily Dose into the coupon box to get 10% off. off your order. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next week.
Littlewood's January sale is now on. Own it with up to 50% off selected big brand fashion, home and electricals with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. Don't miss out. Fashion and footwear offer ends 23rd of January. Home and electricals offer ends 2nd of February. Own it. Shop now at littlewoods.com.